"Whoops," he said, and walked to the nearest of the starboard flame cannons. He charged it, confirmed, aimed carefully, and fired. A blast of liquid flame seared the morning sky as fire ripped into the airship docked next door. "Sorry," Kale said, and walked to the next flame cannon as the cries started. He charged that one, confirmed, and fired again. Another bolt of flame ripped into the airship, setting rigging ablaze and leaving the hull smouldering. "This kind of thing happens," Kale said, walking to the third flame cannon. "When you mess with my mum..." "Hey!" came a cry from down the deck as Kale fired again. "What the hell are you? Hey!" Another guard ran at him. Down on the ground below, Kale heard people yelling and fumbling with a fallen gangplank. "Should probably check the safeties, huh?" Kale called as the guard closed, and for just a moment the man's face showed uncertainty. "That thing went off easier than your mother." Kale kicked him in the crotch, punched the guard as he staggered, kicked him in the crotch again, and slammed an elbow into the back of his head as he folded. The airship next door was fully aflame from the third shot, and Kale walked back toward the first flame cannon, which ought to have charged by then. He had almost reached it when the gangplank slammed back into place. As footsteps clattered on the ramp, Kale yanked a safety pin free from the flame cannon's housing, tossed it aside, did the same with another pin, and pulled the weapon's main system back from the hull with a grunt of effort. Pivoting on his heel, he turned it around so that it was aimed at the gangplank. A flame cannon wasn't meant to fire when removed from its housing. The crystals that powered the cannon were even built into the housing itself, so that removal rendered the flame cannon useless, unless some idiot had already charged the flame cannon before removing it, still live from the housing. "Clear," Kale said in a completely normal voice, and fired. The gangplank, along with a lot of the railing and a fair portion of the hull around it, exploded into roiling flame. The flame cannon kicked back and slammed Kale to the deck, and he rolled with it, got back to his feet, and walked over to the control console. Down on the ground, people yelled and shouted. Something exploded with a good solid whoomp and a lot of crashing wood, and a giant squealing alarm started up. "Had to get the ancients' attention, Kale," he said, kicking the bottom of the console and knocking a plate loose. "Needed to send them a message, Kale." He wrenched the plate free, dropped to his knees, and looked through the crystals inside. A year ago, he wouldn't have known what any of the maze of glowing crystals did. Now he looked at the array, saw what he needed, and reached in to pull them free. They burned as he touched them, because only an idiot would handle crystals from the control console while the console was active, and Kale grimaced, tucked his fingers into his jacket, and used that to yank the crystals out. It was still hot, but it was, "Ow, damn it, put your fingers in cold water later," hot, as opposed to instantaneous flinch away, and Kale was motivated. "Everyone except the trackers has left the airship," Hessler's voice said in his ear. "Everyone at the port seems to be headed your way, in fact. I'm not sure if that was your plan." "Eh." Kale pulled out another crystal and tossed it aside. The console beeped a warning. Kale sat up and overrode it. Grappling hooks sailed up over the railing, caught, and went taut. "But Derry is ready. The trackers are using the control console. It looks like they're going to take off themselves. How soon can you be here?" Kale stood up, flexed his burned fingers, and walked to the nearest still-functional flame cannon. "I will be there," he said. "In 91 seconds. That's an oddly specific..." "Oh," Hessler's voice said, as Kale yanked the safety pins out, wincing at the pressure on his burned fingers. "Do you think that maybe you've distracted them enough already?" "Refresh my memory, Hessler." Kale hauled the flame cannon from its housing, pivoted, and aimed it straight up at the balloon overhead. "What made you start selling those illegal charms that got you kicked out of the wizard school?"
"I needed to pay for my mother's burial," Hessler's voice said quietly.
"You see where I'm going with this," Kale asked, and without waiting for an answer, he fired the flame cannon. Without its barrier crystals in place, the balloon was defenseless. The blast ripped a hole clean through the material, and the demon inside shrieked at an inhuman pitch.
"Least it doesn't sound like gel this time."
As mustard-yellow tentacles began to tear their way from the balloon, Hale took off his leather scout's jacket, jogged to the nearest grappling cable, jumped over the railing, looped his jacket over the cable, and used the sleeves as makeshift handles to slide down the cable to the ground, where he ploughed into a soldier and rolled in the dirt. The soldier he'd slammed into didn't get up. Another nearby soldier was coming at him, though. Cale turned, grabbed the man's hands as he went for the blade at his waist, head-butted him in the face, grabbed the back of his head, and smashed his elbow into it 2 or 3 times. He looked around quickly. Everyone else was looking at the smoke, the fire, or the wind demon that was shrieking and tearing its way free from the balloon. Cale pulled his jacket back on.
"Somebody get on those fires!" he shouted over the yell of the alarm. "Keep everyone back!"
Waving and gesturing like everyone else, Cale walked toward the small airship at the end of the dock. Half of the airfield was in flames by now, and that was only going to get worse with the wind demon free and wreaking havoc on its own. Everyone was yelling and running and waving, except by the small airship, which was now incredibly alone. The under-balloon lights were on. It was powered up and prepared to depart. The gangplank was still in place, though.
"Ready when you are," Hessler's voice said in his ear, and Cale nodded.
A moment later, the air around Cale turned blurry, and an illusion of him began running up the gangplank. Hessler had even thought of the little sound the wood made when it bent under his weight. Cale followed his own illusion up the gangplank, stepping lightly. Unlike the warship, this airship was small and built for speed. It was about the same size as his own sadly destroyed airship, Eofa Gemet, who had sacrificed herself for the team, just as everyone had been starting to acknowledge Cale's choice of name. The bony woman that Tern had said was a troll stood at the control console. The dwarf thing that was apparently a scorpion stood at the top of the gangplank, and the ogre stood guard over Cale's mother, who was seated, hands and feet shackled, in the middle of the deck.
"Benjamin," his mother cried, looking at the illusion of him who was a few steps ahead.
"No,"
said the scorpion thing that looked like a dwarf, and lunged forward.
"Trick!"
A crystal stinger lashed out from the folds of its cloak, not parting the garment but slashing through, as though the cloak were an illusion, and slammed into the illusion of Cale. Cale had seen this happen before. It usually resulted in the person who punched the illusion stumbling forward off balance. This time, the illusion flew through the air, still looking like it was standing in place, and then abruptly flickered and vanished. Behind Cale, Hessler grunted and hit the ground, and the cloak around Cale disappeared.
"No illusions," Cale muttered. "Got it."
"Dairy!"
He leaped up the gangplank, kicked the stinger to one side, and stomped hard on where the thing's head ought to be. His foot went through the folds of the cloak and hit something that felt like rock or bone, and the scorpion squealed.
"Kill him,"
said the bony woman, and Cale grabbed the stinger as it darted back at him, catching it on the weird glowing sack just behind the crystal tip. It flailed in his grasp, and then rocky claws clamped onto his boots, and the deck slid out from under him. He hit the deck hard, rolled, and saw the stinger tear through the wood where he had lain. He kicked out, caught the scorpion in what was probably its face, and it was a scorpion now. A very large one with lumpy bits on its head and down its back that glowed softly.
"Fool!"
the scorpion hissed. "Distraction," Cale muttered back. And that was when Derry, who had come over the far railing on a stolen grappling hook, punched the troll lady hard enough to smash her through the railing and off of the airship.
"Benjamin!" his mother shouted, struggling with her chains. "Ben, be careful! It's a trap!"
"I know, Mum."
The glowing bits on the back of the scorpion's head pulsed, and some kind of yellowish gas oozed out. Cale rolled away, covering his face. His eyes and skin stung, and he blinked hard as he got back to his feet. The scorpion scuttled forward, and then a brilliant flash of light slammed into it and sent it flying across the deck.
"I believe that you interact with illusions as though they are physically tangible," Hessler said, hanging from the railing with a pale face but a raised hand. "And I thought to myself, I wonder how that works."
The scorpion got back to its many scuttling feet, and a glowing hammer materialized in the air and slammed down onto it.
"As it turns out, it works very well."
Hessler raised a hand, and the hammer swept back up into the air, ready to come down again. The ogre caught the illusionary hammer in one great hand and punched it hard with the other. The illusion popped, and Hessler staggered to one side and slammed to the deck, eyes rolling back into his head.
No!
Derry grabbed the ogre by the arm and pulled her around. The ogre looked surprised, but not as surprised as when Derry punched her and sent her staggering back. While Derry and the ogre traded blows, Kale ran to his mother, still wiping his eyes. She shook her head.
You knew it was a trap, stupid boy. Why did you come?
Shut up, Mum.
He pulled Eofacil from his sleeve and went to work on the locks keeping her chained to the deck. His mother's big face glared down at him, age lines adding to her scowl.
They said you're a criminal again. They said.
Really?
One of the locks snapped open.
Really? The ogre and the scorpion and the troll lady said I was a bad person, and you're taking their word for it?
Something grabbed his wrist, and Kale tried to break the hold, but it was like a snake or a rope or something, and as he turned, he saw that it was the troll lady, her long fingers and arms stretched impossibly so that they coiled around his arm. And it did not so much hurt as it felt wrong, and the muscles in his arm refused to respond as he struggled. Her other arm reached for Kale's head. A heavy iron shackle caught the troll in the face.
Did I say?
Kale's mother slammed the shackles across the troll's knee, and the troll screeched and stumbled.
That I!
The shackles swung up and smashed into the troll's chin, and the troll dropped to her knees.
Believed them!
The shackles came down with crushing force on the back of the troll's head, and the troll hit the deck and did not move. Kale's mother turned to him.
You are my son. If they want you, they come through me.
He coughed, worked Eofacil into the last lock, and snapped the shackles from her wrists.
Thanks, Mum.
The ogre stumbled back from a blow, and she went through the console as Derry shoved her, as though she were the illusion. Derry slammed into the console hard, and the ogre stepped around and clapped him on the side of the head. The kid went down, crashed into the railing, and didn't move. Kale put himself between the ogre and his mother.
You wanted me. You got me. Let my mother go, and we do this here and now.
Not a murderer, the ogre said,
coming toward him with fists raised.
No, you're someone who goes after the families of your enemies.
Kale stood his ground. Behind him, his mother got out of the way.
You're a monster, and I say that as somebody who's got a dark fey and a death priestess on his team.
He raised his own fists, rolled out his shoulders, and snarled.
I don't know if things like you even have mothers, but if they do, yours wasn't worth my time.
He lunged forward as the ogre roared, and his fist slammed into her and through her, and Kale slid through her body as though she were a curtain of cool water. Had he not seen her do her trick with the control console, this would have surprised him. As it was, the console had been what he was aiming for the whole time. His lunge brought him to it, and he hit three buttons and thumbed the control crystal. The airship leaped forward, snapping its moorings. Kale stumbled, Kale's mother stumbled, and the railing slid through the ogre as though she were nothing more than an illusion, leaving her hovering in empty space as the airship bounced off the service station wall, slammed into the top of the fence, and soared wildly through the public port, leaving a lot of yelling and screaming behind it. Off in the distance, the ogre roared as she finally fell to the ground. Kale looked to his mother and saw that she was clinging to the chair she'd been shackled to. When she saw him looking her way, she shook her head.
You idiot boy, she yelled. You are going to get yourself killed one of these days.
Maybe, Mum.
Kale sank back against the console.
Not today, though.
If you've got all these crazy things trying to hunt you down, Benjamin, you have more important things to do than come see your mother.
She shook her head.
I would have been fine at the cleaners.
That's the best part, Mum.
Kale grinned. This whole bit was actually a distraction.